Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 5, Episode 4 of the Daily Zeitgeist for November the 9th, 2017. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Potatoes O'Brien, and I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Hello, everybody. Just an announcement to all the ladies I've dated. Please give me back my hooded sweatshirts, and I know some of you have a lot of my DVD box sets of certain TV shows. I can't remember which one specifically, but you would be doing me a great service. Thank you.
This is definitely the time to do that business.
Yeah, hey.
And we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the co-host of Lady to Lady and the new podcast Brittany's Instagram. Please welcome Barbara Gray.
Hey.
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 It's
Barbara Gray. The other Gray. Yes.
Do you really need those DVDs back?
I do. Because, first of all, someone has my Deadwood. Season 2.
Oof.
And I really like the show.
But you have to get HBO Stream. What are you doing?
I have it, but I'm also like, I like the tangible items too. Also, I am missing like some really good hooded sweatshirts that I...
I can understand about those more.
Okay, I can see your point with the DVDs. Yeah, I can still have the memories without the physical copies. Yes. Okay, so you know what? Strike that. Just give me the hoodies.
Seems like you're just looking for an excuse to get back into contact with some of these ladies, if I had to guess, Miles.
You know, also, now that I have a platform.
I like also assuming that they all listen to this.
Exactly. That's my other thing is I'm hoping in my fantasy world, they all see how well I'm doing, and now they're like, oh, I guess he deserves his hoodies back.
Every successful joke, they're like, damn, let that one get away. Barbara, what's something that you have searched in the not-too-distant past that is revealing about who you are as a human being?
Oh, I searched Will Ferrell plastic surgery recently.
Wait, what?
Well, for real? I think he's had it. Well, I feel like either I assume more people have had it than they've had, or I just have a better eye for it.
Right.
But his eyes look real tight.
He's got the eyes?
He's got those tight eyes.
Really?
Daddy's Home too, or whatever.
You're saying in the poster or the...
Just in general, when I see him on screen now, I'm like, I think something's happened. It's not that I begrudge him for doing it, but it's just, I think it's a little harder to be funny when you've gotten, you know, some work done.
Right.
As far as your expressions. But that was something I realized I searched recently, so... I think that's
interesting. This is 2 days in a row that we've been talking about Daddy's Home 2, the cultural event.
Yeah. Coming out this Friday, guys. Check it out. We're not paid by them.
Ooh, big not.
Yeah. Woo.
What's something you think is overrated, Barbara?
I think that Twitter giving 280 characters. I guess nobody likes that. So does it count as overrated? I personally think it's a terrible idea.
Yeah. Well, I've not seen one supportive tweet about it.
Right.
It's at least overrated in the Twitter offices because they like did a slow rollout and everyone was like, no, why are you doing this? This is pointless.
And then they gave it to everyone.
They were like, yeah.
Why? I don't understand why. It's like the platform's already dying. Why would you further?
Well, yeah. These are like the final desperate farts of a dying corpse.
of Twitter. It's just, I mean, as somebody who, you know, writes jokes, it's good for me to be economical with words and to force myself to do that. And we don't need to see, Twitter's already a garbage, you know, place. I don't need to see more from people.
What is something you believe to be underrated?
Underrated, I think, is wearing wigs all the time. As far as, you guys are talking about wigs off mic. I think everyone should, I wore a blonde one on Halloween and I was like, why can't I just do this and not be weird?
Right.
But I think it would be weird if I just did that.
Wait, why do you think it's weird though?
Cause people would act like it was, you know?
Yeah, but fuck people. You're rocking your wig for you.
But if I like dressed in costume every day, people would be like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Well, that's different. You said wig. Hold on. Right. Now we're talking about a whole different thing now. Hey, wigs are cool. If you want to rock a wig, rock a wig.
I mean, a lot of people do, like, you know, as part of their life, but I think, like, changing it every day would be intense, you know?
Don't say that to my
aunt. I think it would be cool. I think
she rocks wigs
women can pull it off more than men. I think men trying to rock wigs every day.
What if guys were rocking, what about beard wigs? What if would you guys?
Fake beard?
Yeah, oh,
would
my
you guys
God.
Do that?
Like, as somebody who had to, at Cracked, like, evaluate tons and tons of, you know, amateur comedy sketch videos, like, I have a huge aversion to false mustaches and fake beards because they're all over the place.
Yeah, but that's because the fake beard game is not where it needs to be. You know what I mean? Like, wigs now, you're like, oh, wow, I love her head of
hair. Exactly, if it looked real, not if it looked like a fake sketch.
Exactly. You don't want to look like that, like, part in Jackass when, like, they just glued a bunch of pubes to his face.
Right.
Like, you want something real. And look, as someone who has a lot of trouble growing facial hair, Shout out to my
genetics. Got a natural pube face situation.
I would love to just know what a real beard felt like, you know, and just
exactly
be embraced. It feels terrible.
Does it?
Yeah.
It looks like it would stink.
It's like wearing a sweater on your face. It's just not that cool.
I love them because I love like false masculinity, something that makes a guy look more masculine. Right. So I'm into them.
You show up and the guy's like, hey, just so you know, I don't want to mislead you. This beard is fake. Because I'm honest. I'm a gentleman.
Yeah, exactly. Honesty at all costs.
It is the great hider of a weak chin.
Yes, as Gavin McGinnis knows.
Yeah. All right, let's get into format, guys. We're trying to take a sample of the ideas that are out there, changing the world whether we're looking or not. There's this huge tangle of ideas and assumptions and collected, you know, assumed wisdom and beliefs that are out there, kind of, you know, there's sort of a gravitational pull that collective and assumed wisdom has on our daily lives. We talk about politics, the president, news, but we also talk about movies and supermarket tabloids. Mostly we talk about Daddy's Home 2, in at least this week.
We can't get off of it.
But one thing we like to talk about is because movies have such a huge impact on this big collective gravitational tangle of ideas, we like to bust movie myths, and we like to specifically ask our guests, just based on their own experience or just, you know, what they've learned in their life, are there any media myths out there that you
well,
think need a bust?
I mean, I told you that this one isn't a movie one. Is this okay?
Media. Yeah.
Media. This is media.
If you see some mythical shit happening out there, just tear it down.
I think I saw Bruno Mars perform last night at the Forum, and I believe that.
First of all, good show or not good show?
Great show. Okay. Incredible show. I don't think he's ever had sex. And that's the myth I would like to bust right now.
How do you tell that from a performance?
Well, he's an incredible performer. It's something about the performance, but like the way he talks about sex in his songs is not. I think it's like Tommy Wiseau as far as like, this is what I think romance is. Roses and red dresses and chocolate. And the way that Bruno Mars talks about sex, he's like champagne, strawberries, sex by the fireplace. I'm who fucks no one has sex like that. That's not right.
Fancy
real.
People do.
Right.
Fancy but
people
like,
in like romance novels.
Yes,
not
that's
like real
what I think he's
people.
Like red romance novel because his other song is like Versace on the floor. What the fuck?
There
what are, you
are
doing?
Certain
right.
people, there
it's
are
never
certain
like...
people who are obsessed with like relating champagne to sex. I heard, Jennifer Lopez once say, and I don't know why
use
this stuck
Christian
with me.
Use her Christian name,
J-Lo, sir. J-Lo. I heard her once say, great sex is like taking a bath in champagne. And I was like, that sounds, so it's like weirdly uncomfortable and makes you sticky all over.
And like counterintuitive.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So.
I just get the feeling that he is an entire persona built on saying what he thinks women want to hear, especially.
Right.
But it is that romance novel version of sex and stuff. Also, he has a song about like, I don't know if you guys have heard the gorilla song, but it's like, it goes like, you and me, baby, making love like gorillas.
That's what he said?
Crazy song. Yeah. But in it, he talks about like, bang, bang on your chest like a gorilla would do. But I'm like, well, if you're actually having sex like a gorilla, you'd be doing it doggy style. Anyway, that's my theory.
So the lyrics aren't like realistic. Like, hey, I know you came home late and I already had like a boner in bed. And like, then I'm like, what's up? And then you're like, no, I'm tired. It's time for, I gotta go wake up for work. And then you're like, forget it.
I guess maybe that's not a sexy thing that people want to hear.
Yeah. Maybe I'm describing a dysfunctional relationship.
Yeah.
Who's an artist who describes sex in a realistic way?
I think The Weeknd, who I also saw at the Forum.
Oh, yeah, right.
So it's like, if you looked at the two of them versus each other, The Weeknd definitely is actually having sex.
Right.
And Bruno's presenting this fake kind of, you know, glossy version
of it. It's like the two kids in high school, like one kid who's like, yeah, I've had sex, but with my girlfriend, she lives in Texas, and you'll never meet her.
Right.
And then
but
there's
the
like,
sex is so good, we do it like gorillas.
Crazy. Yeah. And then the other kid's just like smoking a cigarette. He's like, that's not how y'all fuck.
Right. Exactly.
That like, is. I gotta lie to my girl every night because I'm with another one.
Right.
Anyway, I'm Abel. Like, yeah, that sounds right.
All right, let's get into our first story. The theme of today's episode is going to be that it is National Fuck the Rich and Powerful Day, it would appear.
Only week. Day. They only get a day.
Yeah. Right. Because we were like getting all these notifications on our phones about different people getting busted for their shenaniganery. But we're going to start out with talking about just the dossier, because that's something that's been in the news for the past week or so. And I think when the dossier hits people's brains, it just immediately goes PP tape. Like, they're just like, dossier, PP tape. And they don't really think too deeply about what else it is.
Because that was the best part of it. Like,
right. It's like the fun part of it.
Well, and at the time, too, it was like near the inauguration, and then BuzzFeed puts it out, and then you're like, oh my God, yes. Like,
right.
Trump gets like,
he has
videos.
To be going down.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, We have no reason to believe or disbelieve that specific part of it, but we wanted to take a look, like actually look into the intelligence in the dossier. We had our writer, Sam Rudman.
Rude boy.
Look into what the sort of general opinion in the intelligence community is about all the information in the dossier and just what's in there in general. So the things that we know to be true, the things that they had right before they had any information on those things, or before we had any information on those things, are what? They knew about the
emails being hacked.
Democratic emails being hacked.
Or at least emails regarding Hillary Clinton were available.
Right.
That was in the document. Let's see that. There was also the other thing of like that Russia has an extensive program aimed at hacking foreign adversaries. And
right.
that was very clearly true.
Right.
Let's see. There was another thing that claimed that like Viktor Yanukovych told Putin that he could pay Paul Manafort under the table and that it would be untraceable. And then it turns out that, you know, there were payments that were made to Manafort that basically led to his ouster from the campaign.
Right. So basically the Manafort indictment that just came out, a lot of the details in that and the charges against Manafort seem to line up with what's been in this dossier for the past like year.
Yeah, exactly. And even with and then recently too, Carter Page, recently his testimony came out, and there are a lot of things that went down in that testimony aside from him just seeming like a crazy person who's like so in over his head in
right.
this like bad scandal. That there were a few things that actually did line up with the dossier.
And this was like the other day, his testimony, right? Carter Page?
Yeah, I think it happened a week or two ago.
Right.
Yeah, and it was finally actually made public this week. So
and they were like, so, Carter, you sure you don't want a lawyer here? He's like, nah, you need a lawyer. I don't need a lawyer.
I'm a scholar is right. kind of like the gist of what he said in that
right.
campaign. So, yes, I think the dossier, like when you think about it, it's a lot of raw intelligence that was gathered by this Steele guy, who's like a former MI6 agent and like expert in Russia, all things Russia.
Right.
So it's all raw intelligence. That's on, like, honestly, the onus is on the intelligence community to then like actually verify a lot of these claims. But it gives you a really good idea of like what spies are talking about. Like, he's like, you know, because he goes around, talks to other people, and tells him, like, hey, what have you heard? What have you heard?
Right.
And the stuff that he feels is legitimate enough, he'll put in here to just sort of be like, this is the word on the street. This
it's
is
like a snapshot of spy, like, Twitter at that point.
Exactly.
Right.
And he's like, this is what's going on. Look, I'm not telling you this is absolute truth, but this is what's going on.
It's what people have heard.
Yeah. And we've seen sort of time and time again that a lot of things have been corroborated.
Right.
But then there are also mistakes in there. Like, there's, like, misspellings and, like, talking about different, like, wrongly identifying companies or people.
Yeah, they called the Russian company the wrong thing.
I mean, I think it's too bad. It's like you would think they would put that through a spell check first, but I guess.
Right. And also, like, when you look at the document, it's, like, mad messy. It's, like, got different fonts and shit.
Yeah.
I'm like,
right.
Never turn in a paper like
and
that.
And the other thing it did, so usually a intelligence report like this will have a grade next to each piece of intelligence of, like, how strongly.
Like, on the, like, truth meter.
Yeah, on their truth meter. Right. They use truthiness, I think. And this doesn't have any of that. It's just like kind of puts the facts out there and doesn't really give context for like how, good they believe the sourcing is on that.
Which is why it gives like Republicans, it's just sort of flawed enough that Republicans say this is total trash. Like, this is all, you know, supernatural chicanery, witchcraft.
One little mistake and then they can take it all down.
Right. And then on the Democrat side, then they're looking at it and saying like, well, we're starting to back up a lot of these things, like not everything, but it gives us an interesting overarching picture of just quite how this cooperation between the Trump campaign and Russia might have gone down.
Right.
Another thing to mention too is like the dossier did mention that Russia had been cultivating Trump for years. that's also kind of vague because, like, we don't quite know, like, how that went down. I mean, aside from, like, numerous real estate deals.
Right.
So, sure, maybe in that sense they were cultivating, but never like, hey, come take, you know, spy class over here so we, you know, can make march you out there as an agent of this firm.
Or, yeah, like, we've got this P-tape on you. You're going to run for
yeah.
Right.
But clearly, for whatever reason, Trump does not ever want to say a bad thing about Russia, and I think that's what makes it all look even worse.
Right. Yeah, the way they cultivate you would not be here, come take this Russia, how to spy Russia style class. They would just sort of do things for you and then maybe like do bad things with you and then be like, yo,
we can blackmail them.
Yeah.
Right.
And then be like, hey, guess what? We can turn the heat up on you.
Yeah. And I think, on both sides, there's been this argument about like, well, this was paid for by the Clinton campaign. You know, I think Democrats are saying that it was, you know, even if it was, which it was partially paid for by the Clinton campaign, it's just opposition research. And even when it was first reported, so this was treated like a huge bombshell a couple weeks ago when it came out that the DNC and the Clinton campaign paid for some of the research being done by Steele. So when it was first reported by Mother Jones a week before the election and published by BuzzFeed, they specifically said that it was paid for by the DNC and the Clinton campaign, as well as before that, it was paid for by a company that was working for one of Trump's Republican opponents.
Right.
So this story that like sort of broke like a couple weeks ago was in the very first story about the dossier.
But again, it gave another reason for, you know, the GOP and Trump supporters to kind of distract from the numerous other things that are going on, just to bring up, you know, their favorite boogeywoman, Hillary.
And just to illustrate, like, a detail that shows how far apart the different sides are. So, Trump recently, I think, sent Mike Pompeo, the director of the CIA, to meet with a guy, right? Bill Binney?
Yeah, he's like a former NSA codebreaker.
And he believes that Russia did no hacking. He's the one person in the intelligence community. He's basically at this point a, you know, glorified conspiracy theorist because nobody in the entire, you know, law enforcement community or intelligence community believes that Russia did no hacking. His theory is that it was like an inside job by the Democrats to set up Russia.
Yeah. So, of course, Trump loves that. He's
right.
Like, hey, CIA, go talk to that guy. Because I think in an interview, Bill Binney said something like, yeah, he's on the search for factual evidence. Like, okay. Like, as if you're the one who holds the factual evidence regarding this whole Russia hacking thing.
Right. So Binney does have a background in the intelligence community in that he left the NSA in 2000.
Yeah, so, you know,
pre-9/11 world.
Yeah, been 17 years since
working
he's, like,
at Quiznos since then, but he's right. Definitely got his
one. And again, you can just tell like where this lies too, because you look on like RT and like Sputnik, they're like, oh man, Bill Binney's a whistleblower hero. Why is the mainstream media trying to smear him? It's
right.
Like, well, he has a opinion that is not in line with like the facts.
Right.
So yeah, and it's a little concerning that the head of the CIA is going to go meet with somebody like that.
Right.
But again, Mike Pompeo loves Trump, so.
Yeah, and the only other thing we haven't covered is that that the report gets wrong is that they said that Michael Cohen, Trump's lawyer, was in Prague doing some shady thing. And if you look at Cohen's passports, he was only in Europe last year to go to Italy with his family, and like his passports corroborate that. And the week they say he was doing this shady thing, he was actually visiting his son in college in Southern California. And I was on that trip with him, so I can.
Oh, okay, good.
You hung out in the dorms with him?
Yeah, for
Thank
sure.
God.
Yeah, Cohn's a good guy. No, he's actually a psycho. He's amazing. But people should check out a highlight reel of Michael Cohen's appearances on like CNN. He's pretty amazing. But all right. So that's what the Steele dossier is. When you hear about it, you don't have to picture Trump watching prostitutes pee on the Obama's bed. You can think about these things instead.
And it's up to you to get as outraged or as excited about it as you want. Cause there's enough to say that there's a lot of truth in it, and there's enough to say that there's flaws in it, but it seems like we're seeing more truth come out of it than anything.
Right. A lot of the details are being corroborated. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after that. And we're back. So now we're on to National Fuck the Rich and Powerful Week. Couple stories that are just coming in and are sort of still developing as we record this. Roy Moore, the GOP politician who just won the runoff in Alabama, there are multiple women accusing him of having sexual contact with them when he was 32 and one of them was 14.
Yeah, I think there are four different women actually who were all
that same
underage
age spread. Yeah,
it was like between 77 and 82 or something like that.
Right. So that's tough break for.
Well, what's funny is like Breitbart is trying to be like, oh, it's just kissing.
What?
Really? They said that?
They
just
have like
kissing.
They're trying to find other quotes from these people to just be like, nah, I was just kissing.
Huh.
So. Cool,
he was just kissing a child. It's fine.
Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly. It's like, okay. So
that's what we're going. That's what's going to start happening. That's where we're going now.
Well, that's how, yeah. I mean, like, how do I thought we were already hit the bottom, but somehow
there's no way.
Yeah, we're in the upside down.
Yeah,
we've gone beyond the bottom. We're like, no, just kissing. Fucking terrible.
And then in the sort of Hollywood post Weinstein world, we have so Kevin Spacey as more and more people come out to just tell all the horrifying stories of shit he's been doing to young men for the last, you know, couple decades. The movie that he was in that was really poorly timed, it's called All the Money in the World, and it's the story of J. Paul Getty. Basically, he is this famous, I think he was at one point not only the richest man in the world, but the richest man in the history of the world. Like, he had all the money because of, like, some really just shrewd oil deals that he did. And his grandson was kidnapped, and the people were asking for money. And he basically was like, no, I'm not going to give him any money because that's how cheap he was. So the trailer comes out, and it's got this, like, big reveal where they're like, and as J. Paul Getty, Kevin Spacey, and you see like Kevin Spacey like in all this old man makeup, they have not only have they recut that trailer so that it doesn't end on the big reveal that wowee, look, we got Kevin Spacey for this big role, they are recasting it. Even though the movie comes out in a couple months, Kevin Spacey has been cut out of the film, and they are reshooting it with, who is it?
Christopher Plummer,
the great. Which
I guess the director originally wanted.
Right. It's by Ridley Scott.
Right.
It seems like it's going to be a good movie. Big news that we've sort of been talking around here, at the Daily Zeitgeist for basically the whole time the show's been on the air is that, so there are all these rumors about Louis C.K. being,
wait, the show's, the article's out.
It's out.
So, yeah, I mean, that's a thing that has been sort of out there among women in the comedy community for a long time. And this is not the only instance, allegedly. It's happened to a lot of women.
Well, yeah, my friend Megan Keister tried to report on it. She's got, a thing. She went to the JFL and tried to talk to a lot of comedians about the allegations, and she got kind of, like, shooed away, basically. And someone had told her, you know, that that wasn't right, true, the stuff that happened in Aspen. So she basically got shut down. But
right.
Yeah, it's been talked about for a long time. And
yeah. And I've definitely heard it from a lot of, you know, he's never cornered me in a room and jerked off in front of me. But I've heard it from enough, like, women who I trust way more than I trust Louis C.K.'s word, that it really seems like it's a problem and like a thing that he, you know, can't help himself from doing.
It's so creepy because he has this movie, I Love You Daddy, coming out. Well, probably not coming out anymore. We don't know.
Well, right. Before this news literally broke as we were saying this, the point of that was that Louis C.K.'s movie was going to come out and then abruptly canceled the premiere like hours before it was supposed to go because this article was about to drop.
Right. His premiere was supposed to be last night, and hours before the premiere, they canceled it. And everyone was like, what the fuck? And the studio, off the record, told people it was because they heard a New York Times story was about to break that was going to, you know, tell this story, which has been sort of bubbling underneath the surface. And this movie is like really fucked up the way that, so not only he talks about sort of the, he addresses the Woody Allen, you know, sexual misconduct because, in it, his daughter is dating a character played by John Malkovich, who's clearly supposed to be like a Woody Allen, Roman Polanski type auteur. And then, but there's also a character who corners, women in a room and masturbates in front of them, right?
Yeah.
There actually is? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe there's a scene.
It's not him, but there is a scene where a male character does what he's being accused of.
Right, so he gets to corner the audience and make them watch that.
Right.
Right. Exactly.
So he basically to the women who had to do it.
Right. He basically snitched on himself in his own film.
That makes so much sense for him, I feel like. I feel like he's going to be the type of person who's like, I'm going to get ahead of this and make it. It's part of my art now, you know?
Oh, mm-hmm. It's just weird. I mean, like, as I read through this, there was another Abby Schachner said in 2003 she called Louis C.K. to invite him to one of her shows. And during the phone conversation, she said she could hear him masturbating as they spoke.
Ooh.
Weird.
And then another comedian, Rebecca Corey, said that while she was appearing with Louis C.K. on a television pilot in 2005, he asked if he could masturbate in front of her. She declined. So, yeah, that seems like the rumors are real.
Yeah.
And, yeah, there goes another one. Yeah, I guess the weird thing is this is a thing that has been talked about a lot, and we just never got to a point where enough people came out to actually confirm a lot of these like terrible things. And yeah, and now I'm given this climate again, like if you're fucking around and you're being a sexual predator, yeah, this is not the era for you right now.
No, right. So, I mean, I'm really happy it's happening. I mean, obviously that it didn't happen, but you know, that guys aren't going to be able to get away with it anymore. It's huge. Right. It's going to be a huge change for women in entertainment, and I'm really interested to see the way, like we said, how it's going to keep going.
Yeah.
This is just the beginning, obviously. Right. But to be believed after not, to know, to have the women know that they could come forward and be believed is so huge, and I'm really interested to see what goes down.
Yeah, I mean, so just to kind of explicitly talk about, like, there are female comics who have been warned against, like, talking about this, right? Like that, and been told like that will ruin your career. I think we heard from a woman, a friend of a friend, who was like, you know, that she was talking about this after it happened to her, and someone came up and was like, look, if you keep telling this story, it's gonna ruin your career, not his. Mm-hmm.
Who wants to also be have your entire career associated with that, you know? It's
right.
It's something. You don't want to even talk about.
So
I think, in the film, there's a character pretends to masturbate at length in front of other people.
Oh, maybe he was just faking it then. That's
right. Not actually, but yeah.
Right.
As far as like the Kevin Spacey stuff goes, so CGI is obviously very powerful now. If they replaced him, what would happen if like something happened where they replaced Kevin Spacey with a CGI version of Kevin Spacey? Does that count? Because it's like, well, the CGI robot didn't do anything.
Right.
Yeah, it's still the face, man. It's still...
It's still like, I mean, I wouldn't want to put anyone through looking at him after knowing all the shit that he did. But, right, you know, where is that line drawn?
Yeah, right.
Who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, look, yeah, CG or not, bro. Sorry, gotta go.
Or maybe if they like replaced him by like a Jar Jar Binks character.
Right.
Like
it's completely another.
Yeah.
A robot.
I mean, but that's also traumatic.
Right. That is true.
Let's fuck Jar Jar Binks.
Don't put us through that either.
So, I mean, we wanted to also connect this to the larger trend of the Paradise Papers, which is this trove of millions of documents that show evidence of how huge multinational corporations are hiding their money from governments so they don't have to pay taxes, as well as individuals. It's not just multinational corporations. Madonna, I guess, is in there. The royal family, Wilbur Ross, who is Secretary of Commerce and, you know, huge, wealthy Republican donor. These papers actually connect him to a shipping company that does business with Putin. And a lot of these papers, like the Panama Papers, and was the first batch of documents that's similar to this. These Paradise Papers, a lot of them show a lot of networks of shady money that all traces back to Putin, because as we've discussed on the podcast before, Putin is the richest guy in the world. He just has all this money that he hides in the people around him. So like he has a friend who is a classical musician who has like $2 billion because, you know, Putin is hiding his money with him. But it's pretty astounding. I mean, so Apple has accumulated more than $128 billion in profits offshore, and probably much more that is completely untaxed by the U.S. And, you know, tax strategies like the ones I'm kind of pulling quotes here from a New York Times article on this. Tax strategies like the ones Apple used, as well as Amazon, Google, and Starbucks, cost the governments around the world as much as $240 billion a year in lost revenue, according to a 2015 estimate by the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. And it would seem like that's probably an underestimation we're learning now. And so this is, I feel like, why it should matter to, you know, us as American citizens and, you know, anybody who lives in a country that's government is losing out on tax revenue because of these tax shelters, because this is lost revenue that could be going towards things like infrastructure and schools. In America, the GOP, the Republicans, love to talk about cutting spending. And they actually love to cut spending on schools and infrastructure, and the way those things are funded are with taxes. And instead of being funded by billions of dollars of taxes that Apple should be paying, they're being funded by taxes that come out of our paychecks and purchases and properties. So I don't know. The government has to get that money somewhere, and they're not getting it from these huge corporations.
Yeah, and it's absurd too, because you look at things like this tax plan the GOP is trying to push and saying like, oh yeah, like if we give these corporations more tax breaks, that'll mean it's better for you, when we all know that's bullshit. That's not going to happen.
Right. So the rationale for the Republican, like, they want to redesign the taxes so that corporations are only taxed 20% instead of 35%, right? And by lowering it, they're saying then they'll actually pay taxes instead of hiding the money. But why would they do that? Because they're not paying anything close to 20%.
Right.
They have all these laws. So, like, that's clear. The ability for companies to hide all of their money in these different ways is the thing probably that needs to be addressed, and not, like, making it easier on corporations.
Yeah. But that's not to say that in this GOP tax plan, like, you know, there is a plan to, you know, lure some of this cash back stateside through the repatriation tax, which they want to, you know, tax this money that's their profits that are coming back by like 10% or less. And that's the hope, is that once this money is back in the States, you know, they can use this to, you know, reinvest it in their business. But it seems like, you know, last time they did this, I think in 2004, a lot of companies just bought back their own stock. So it's, you know, a lot of experts don't think that it'll actually benefit the public. But again, if you believe in the idea that these corporations are very kind and, you know, loving people, that they'll actually use this money and invest it back in the community, well, who knows?
And I feel like there's an underrated way this impacts society also, in the fact that, like, this is a huge industry. Like, some of the smartest and most talented people that I know, like, work in industries where they spend most of their time and energy, like, doing bullshit like this, like hiding people's money or moving people's money around. And I feel like, I don't know, it's a shame. That's how you get rich in America, is not by creating anything of value, but like finding ways to hide money for huge corporations, or, you know, finding tricks with like hedge funds and markets to make money for people who already have a lot of money.
And we're left holding the bag.
Right. Well, we wonder why. You know, there has been a huge upswelling of, like, populism around the world, right?
Yeah.
You know, before Trump even started his run in the 2016 election, there were studies that said America is ripe for a populist outsider to come in and, you know, wreck shit. And like, you know,
we got the wrong fucking one.
Well, you know, the Democrats had Bernie, you know, have a huge unexpected impact on right. their primaries. And the Republicans had Trump, who came in as an outsider and, you know, upset a bunch of people. And so I don't know. It's I feel like we a lot of, you know, the anger, even on the left, is directed towards like these poor people and like people in the middle of the country being like, you know, not knowing that Trump is bad for them. But I mean, there are people who are being victimized just like everybody else by these massive, you know, elites who, you know, there's this entire societal apparatus that has been set up to keep rich people rich and poor people poor. And like, you know, this is where the Illuminati conspiracy theory comes from. It's like a fictional explanation for something that's really happening. Rich people are spending all their time and talent and education finding tricks to keep rich people rich and poor people poor.
Yeah. Is there anything that's going to change that? I mean, I don't even know if that's possible to stop now.
I guess, I mean, this is all kind of a part of a bigger discussion, right? Is like, are we kind of seeing a change, right? So
right.
now rich and powerful predator men are having to answer for their crimes. The tax plan is so unpopular because people are trying to realize, yo, giving tax breaks to the wealthy is not going to help us. And then the Paradise Papers is further demonstrating that, like, look at what we're dealing with here. And yeah, with some of the elections that happened on Tuesday, I mean, you're like in Virginia, they crushed it. Like, the Democrats crushed it. Liberal politicians made it very clear that this is somewhat of a rebuke on Trump. And you have from the first trans woman being elected into the state legislature to, you know, like the first black mayor in Montana, who's a Liberian immigrant. Like, you're seeing, I mean, again, you can't just say from these elections that we're going to see a complete change in the midterms or anything like that. But it's a very good indication that there is some kind of momentum gathering.
Yeah, people are actually motivated.
Yeah.
And also, you can look at that. There are, you know, polling and demographic data that says that millennials are like wildly, completely the most socialist generation in a long time. And I think that's probably because they are the first generation that has had access to all of the information like for their entire lives. And so they're kind of able to see through a lot of this bullshit and, you know, able to see that happiness does not come from, you know, collecting and accumulating more and more and more and more money. It comes from, you know, or in fact, like doing that, collecting more and more and more money just seems to be like a mental illness that like makes you just want to get more and more and more money. It's like an addiction.
Yeah. And I think it makes you scared. So it makes you so scared of losing that money. And
yeah.
So therefore ready to, yeah, oppress people. And I know I say my parents' generation, I'm like, I see how stressful it is to, you know, own a house, just all the stuff that I'm like, I don't even care about that because I just saw how it stresses you out all the time and you have all the shit you don't need. So I'm good.
Right.
Yeah. Guys, let's just, you know.
I'm a millennial is what I'm saying. I'm super, definitely a millennial.
You haven't finished all your avocado toast.
Yeah. Yeah. One just waiting for last bite.
Yeah. And I think there's actually this, public town hall meeting that where Chance the Rapper, who I feel like is, you know, he's an artist who I like a lot, but he's also, you know, somebody who cares about the community that he came up in.
Seriously.
Came, like, stood up and was like, I don't know, I think we actually have a clip of his.
I've been asking for money for over a year now to fund these classrooms, and on the 4th of July weekend, they announced that they, in like a cool finessing way, that they have $95 million or that they're proposing to build a $95 million cop academy. What else can I say? What is y'all doing?
I love that he showed up to public council.
I mean, yeah,
meeting.
He's on top of it. I mean, his dad's involved in politics, and he, like, if that wasn't clear, he was really adamant about getting better funding for schools. And the city overwhelmingly approved an agreement that would build a $95 million police academy. So it's like, where's that money coming from? And
yeah.
Again,
he donated, like, he puts his money where his mouth is. He donated $1 million to Chicago public schools. So yeah, I don't know. It just seems like, I don't think it's, you know, I think learning all this stuff can be sort of, make you cynical and, can kind of be a bummer, but there's also hope, first of all, that we're actually able to find this information out is kind of the first step in the right direction. And, you know, I do think there are people who are out there trying to do the right thing.
Yeah. And it's, again, very, very promising just seeing how some of those elections turned out, of like people who are not just career politicians, but people who are empathetic and stand for something are being voted into office. Even if it's a city council, even if it's being a mayor, or state legislature, it's comforting. I guess, again, it's more of like a sigh of relief after this last year. So let's just keep it up.
To have that a year later, we needed something. Give us a little bit of glimmer of hope.
Keep it up.
All right, we'll be right back after these messages. And we're back. So we're just going to go out on a couple lightish stories. Miles, you've got your on our Canada beat.
Yes, in the Great White North, one of my favorite countries. So Canada decided, or the country's broadcasting watchdog ruled that the word fuck is so commonplace now in French speaking areas that you can say fuck on French language radio now. So shout outs to Canada, because yes, I like that they're acknowledging, hey, language evolves. Some words just become so commonplace, they're no longer really vulgar like they were once. So, you know.
And fuck is just fuck in French, right? It's not, is it a different word?
I think they're saying like that they...
Is it spelled F-U-Q-U-E?
I don't know if it's literally...
That would be funny if like they were just like, because it's not a word in French. What the fuck?
Right, why would it be?
Why do we care?
No, they were like, there were complaints because like one was, someone aired a clip on the radio of like Madonna at one of the rallies saying like, fuck Donald Trump, I think. And then saw like a Green Day concert where like in the coverage you said fuck. And they're like, look, dude, it's not a problem.
Right.
So, yeah.
Got it.
And y'all Canadians, say we don't cover world news.
Canadians are so nice. Like,
I know.
Them saying fuck is just like sighing. It's not.
Right. Well, I mean, but in Quebec, man, that's a whole other. That's yeah. a whole
that's
other
a whole
can
other.
Of worms.
Yeah, that's
they
true.
Are some nasty people.
No,
right?
Don't say that. Shout out to Montreal and the people that work at La Ronde Amusement Park.
So Drake has announced that he is.
He's going to be the greatest husband ever.
So first of all, he just bought a first edition of a Harry Potter book for like $100,000.
He's planning. Yeah, so he did an interview with the Hollywood Reporter where he was like, yeah, I'm going to do something nice for myself and buy a 160K first edition of a Harry Potter book.
Which is a little, all right.
That's lame. Drake.
Why do you need that?
Yeah.
Also.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not like a Gutenberg Bible.
I think I might have had a first edition of the Harry Potter books. Like when I first, like I read the Harry Potter books in Europe when I was over there, like studying over there, and like had like a real like... shitty, like, beat-up early copy of, like, a Harry Potter.
Where is it now?
I don't know, man. I gave it to, like, one of my friends over there.
That was your college... That was your kid's college fund right there.
Well, I'm sure it was, like, beat to shit. I'm sure he wants a mint one. But also, like, it's only, like, 15 years ago. Like, that shouldn't be a thing that costs that much.
I'm not sure what that even looks like,
but,
so
that's not even... The big news is that he's been spending money on Birkin bags.
The famous Hermes Birkin bag.
Right.
Very, very hard to get.
Almost impossible to get. Like, you can go Hermes store. No, but if you go to the Hermes store, they will be like, no, we're out. Like, you have to, like, know somebody at Hermes to, like, get one.
You can't just be like, look, I'll pay three times over the price.
You can do that on like eBay.
That's what I'm saying. Like, cause I know that's how people buy them is like the secondary market where they're just super resold at a disturbing markup.
I like imagining him on eBay. His username is just Drake. And he's like scrolling.
Just sweating. Just like,
just adjusting his giant glasses.
Yeah. Counting down to zero. And he's like, damn it. I got outbid again.
I just feel like this is the like lonely whack. Sort of Drake version of when Michael Jackson was like buying the elephant man's bones and stuff.
Right,
it's just like how he's going crazy and spending his money is just like one day I'm going to have a wife.
He's buying them for his future wife, yeah. apparently. Which, like, you can just buy bags if you like them also. You don't have to say they're for your future wife.
Right. It's also mad weird, like, if he meets her and then he's like, and these are the bags that I've got for you. Yeah. I knew you would come one day.
Right.
Like, yo, what? any relationship, if I dated a woman who's like, and here are all these, like, PlayStation 4s
yeah,
that I've been collecting.
Pile.
I'm like, okay. Like, what's really going on?
Also, like, I want you to spend money on me now, not past
yeah, exactly.
money.
Right.
Exactly. Then he'll be like, we're good, right? Because I spent, like, $300K on those bags, so we're good. You don't need anything else.
That is a really sad move.
Maybe it's a setup yeah. move to be the cheapest husband ever.
I think, like, this is just a move for him being like, I'm looking for a wife. This is like... Hey, everyone.
Is he having that much trouble that he has to broadcast? He's like, hey,
maybe
you get
is.
With me. Like, not that I'm just like a seemingly nice guy, rapper Drake, that like, I also come with this set of Birkin bags that you
right,
can get.
Right, yeah.
But I feel like that's his whole thing. Like, his whole career is him being like, hey, I'm secretly a nice guy. Like, even though I brag about, like, the fact that I'm having too much sex, that right. I'm, like, bored by it. But secretly, like,
he's
I'm
emo
heartbroken
too. Yeah,
and,
he is.
Lonely. All right. Yeah. Good for you, Drake. Good on you.
Except for the Harry Potter for me. Not into Harry Potter.
Yeah. Corner that brick and bag market, Drake. Barbara, this has been a lot of fun.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us. Where can people find you?
I'm on Twitter at Babs Gray. You can find me on there. And yeah, check out my new podcast, Britney's Instagram. It's great.
You sound really excited.
It is.
So tell us why Britney's Instagram is worth devoting a podcast to.
Because she's basically like under house arrest. She is not really somebody who can go out and be a normal person. So this is her direct access to the world. Like, this is her direct output.
These are her messages
in
a bottle.
These are her messages. They are memes about chocolate. They are pictures of an empty peach cobbler pan that she ate. They are fashion shows in her on her veranda, her painting stuff. It's really an amazing view into this woman's life.
It's just like a direct line into the mind
of psyche.
Someone who is just like basically late career Elvis, right? She's late career Elvising, like kind of losing touch with reality. And
yeah, but it's very innocent and sweet, and you kind of feel happy for her in a way.
Right.
But there's some very, like, there's a post that we analyze that she posts a picture with Mariah Carey, and she's like, you never know who you're going to meet at a dinner party. And then it's a two-picture post, and the next picture is a very bad picture of her steak dinner. So she just has no concept of,
right.
of what's going on.
Right.
It's great. So we kind of break them down, and we're going to go back in time and figure out when she started taking control of the Instagram account versus it being like a publicist,
right.
all that kind of stuff.
That's awesome. Miles, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. And also today, I was also on Daniel Van Kirk's podcast, Hindsight. We get real in-depth into my, you know, past iterations of myself. So if you want to get a real glimpse into who I am as a person, check out Hindsight on podcast. Here's some more of me.
You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. And you can follow us at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page that is The Daily Zeitgeist. We check our posts there, so that's a good place to reach out to us. And you can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. And we have a webpage, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post footnotes. Nothing, Miles? You're not backing me up on footnotes?
Footnotes! Sorry, I was just thinking about something else.
Where we post links to, you know, everything we've talked about today. So you can tell that we are only making some of it up. No, we source everything that we talked about. And that's going to do it for today. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. Thanks for listening.